and welcome to yet another incredible installment of Weekend Update. From very high above all the puerile and pedantic forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Saturday. It's fantastic to be back behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone. Just a hunting update. I didn't see an elk, or a track, or a deer, or an antelope. The only thing I did see was a chipmunk, and they're far too small to try to hit with such a big rifle. However, any day on the mountain is better than any other day not on the mountain. It doesn't appear that I missed a whole heck of a lot while I was gone. We still don't have a Speaker of the House. I did learn one valuable lesson while I was at the cabin this time around. If you happen to be on the mountain, and if there is one spot where you get cell reception, and you respond to an email, you've blown your entire cover. Whomever you responded to will just assume that you have constant contact with them and will email you relentlessly. My advice for the future is just don't go to the phone booth. If you're in a spot that generally doesn't have any cell reception, there's absolutely no need to go seek it out. Though, had I followed my own advice, I wouldn't have had an interview with Riley Gaines. But I consider that one a one-off, an aberration, if you will. In the future, unless it's absolutely necessary, I will not be going to the phone booth. And frankly, neither should you. Think about it. I managed to live the first 19 or 20 years of my life without a cell phone. I'm fairly certain that a couple days without cell reception will do us all a world of good. So just do without cell service. Trust me, you'll be better off for it. Unless, of course, you're me, and there's an odd circumstance where Riley Gaines' people finally stop going back and forth with you and decide that they want to do an interview. In that case, and that case alone, I might suggest going to the phone booth, but only because I'm absolutely certain that you want to hear what she has to say. So we'll do that first this morning, and then we'll talk about Sheridan County Attorney Diana Bennett. Yeah. She blew a gasket at our Secretary of State, Chuck Gray, and frankly, she should have just kept her mouth shut. But anyway, we'll do that after we talk to Ms. Riley Gaines. Joining me on the phone is the director of the Riley Gaines Center at the Leadership Institute, Ms. Riley Gaines. Riley, welcome to Cowboy State Politics.
Well, thank you so much for having me on.
I'm glad that we could finally put it together. It took a little bit of doing. Hey, you know what? You accomplished something this morning that few have been able to do. You want to know what that is?
Tell me.
You made me come down from my cabin early just to visit with you.
Well, I will take that achievement and I'll run with it because it's rare in this world, the space that I'm in, to feel like you're winning at something, but this is awesome. And that's the best one I've had all week. So thank you.
No problem. So first thing I always do with every interview is just have you take a minute or so and just tell my listeners about you.
Absolutely. So grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, started swimming when I was 4 years old. Eventually was very fortunate to receive a scholarship. Ended up choosing University of Kentucky, and I'll be honest with you, I'm biased. I think the SEC is the best conference. I'm so sorry. I come from a family of SEC athletes. You know, my dad played football, my mom played softball, all my uncles played in the SEC, and so I knew that's what I wanted. So got to Kentucky, had a pretty incredible 4 years, achieved some awesome things, was 12-time NCAA All-American, 5-time SEC champion, actually still the SEC record holder in the 200 butterfly, Olympic trials, all the stuff, SEC Scholar Athlete of the Year, SEC Community Service Leader of the Year, lifelong journey, right? But yeah. My senior year, my last meet to cap off 18 years of competing, ready to go at our national championships. The NCAA announced about 3 weeks before that Leah Thomas, who is formerly Will Thomas, who swam 3 years on the men's team at University of Pennsylvania, would be swimming in the women's category. And it was a non-negotiable, meaning there was really nothing we could do about it. And so I, of course, got to personally witness and really feel the effect that this infringement had on myself and my teammates and my competitors. I watched that first day as he swam to a national title in the 500 freestyle, beating out, again, Olympians, American record holders, the most impressive female swimmers this world has ever seen by body lengths. But what thrusted me into the position that I'm in, I know this is, I'm, believe it or not, this is actually the short story. What thrusted me into the position that I'm in is Thomas and I raced in the 200 freestyle. We tied, meaning we went the exact same time down to the 100th of a second. And I was denied the trophy because they told me that he had to hold it because they'd been advised, the NCAA had been advised when pictures were being taken, it was crucial that he was holding it.
I don't mean to interrupt you, just real quick. So wasn't Will Thomas like a mediocre men? Well, he still is a male swimmer, but wasn't he, wasn't he mediocre in the men's category to begin with?
Mediocre at best, ranking 462nd the year prior in the men's category to, again, now dominating the women. Even the time Thomas went in the 500 freestyle last year in the country, again, beating every girl by body lengths in the nation, would have beat every girl this year in the country by body lengths, but was certainly less than mediocre as a man.
And isn't it shocking? You decide that you're a woman and then you can magically start winning events. So I guess my first question for you, Riley, is, you know, and it ought to be a pretty easy one for you. When you were little, why did you get into sports?
Like I said, growing up in a family of athletes, it was kind of not even a question for us. We were never forced to play sports or anything like that, but it was in our blood. We loved it. People will say sports are about team, learning team camaraderie, and it's about, you know, the benefits of being on a team and this and this. And of course, all of those things are kind of a side effect. But to me, it was about winning.
About competition,
I love
right?
to win. No doubt. I can't even, my husband knows this. I still can't even play Uno with him because if I lose, I'm in the worst mood ever. So I guess I really hate losing more than I love winning. But it's that pressure, that competitive drive that really got me into playing sports and kept me playing sports.
You know, I spent a lot of time with our legislature here in Wyoming, well, observing the legislature. And, you know, anytime you talk about women's sports as a division of competition, you know, we got Title IX that basically created it. You know, it comes down to a question of fundamental fairness. You know, we have women's sports and we have men's sports. Why do you think it's so difficult for people to just admit the truth that men and women are different?
Well, it goes against everything they've been pushing outside of just sports. I think the broader picture of this gender ideology movement, it goes against what they've been preaching there. They're trying to blur the lines between gender. But I mean, if you look at why we have any category, right? It's not fat phobic to have heavyweights not compete against the featherweights. We do that for a reason. Same thing with, you know, having age categories. We don't have 12 and under peewee baseball players compete against 18 and under. Same thing with the Paralympics. We don't have the Paralympics because we're discriminating against people who aren't able-bodied. We have that to instill a foundation of fairness. But what they're doing in regards specifically to, I guess, at the federal level, how they're rewriting Title IX, they're destroying the integrity of women's sports, I think really sports in general, and they're refusing to acknowledge who this is hurting, who it's harming, because it's harming the women. We've become collateral damage in the process of the Title IX rewrite, of allowing men into our locker rooms, our sororities, our spaces in general, taking the language that we use even. It's harming women.
So what do you think is going to happen to sports in general, but more specifically women's sports? You know, if we continue down this road, you know, allow men to completely destroy women's sports. I mean, where are we in 5 years? I mean, you're a college athlete. You know, I'm sure you have very strong feelings on this. Where do you see competition NCAA sports in 5 years?
If we keep allowing this, and if we keep staying silent while we continue to allow it, and we keep smiling and clapping as this is going on, women's sports will be no more, truthfully. I think we'll see an infiltration of opportunistic men. And look, this isn't to water down people who genuinely struggle with gender dysphoria. I'm not saying every single person transition, every single male transition solely to get into women's sports or women's spaces, but I certainly believe there are people who would. There are men who would. That's why I use the word opportunistic. I think if we continue to allow this, I mean, what man, let's think about it, what college-age man wouldn't want to be in a woman's locker room and wouldn't want to be a national champion? That sounds awesome to a lot of college-age boys. I think the integrity of sport
Certainly
will
being
be
in the
lost.
locker room, but to win by cheating, to win by, because you have a clear biological advantage. I mean, to me, that's not it's not winning at all. So here pretty
No.
soon, you're going to go to the University of Wyoming and speak. What are you expecting will happen down there?
So I'm super excited because, well, I've been going campus to campus and really trying to engage younger people, people my age, to hopefully inspire them to take a stand. But University of Wyoming is special because of what they have going on there in regards to the Kappa Kappa Gamma sorority.
Yes.
They have allowed a male by the name of Artemis into their sorority house, bypassing all the rules, bypassing the voting process and rushing process, and they've allowed him into their sorority. And I've talked with the girls. We've become really good friends over these past couple months, as they were pursuing litigation and different things. And what this man has said to them, the comments he has made about their bodies and their undergarments, and of course, just really inappropriate, nasty things, how he walks around their house naked, how he showers in their house. I mean, it's really disgusting, disturbing, perverse stuff. And so I'm excited to be able to, these girls will be in attendance. They will be at the event. And so to talk about the broader scope, of course, of talking about women's sports, but the broader scope of how women, our identity, again, like I said, the language that we use, women's prisons, women's spaces, it's all under threat by this movement. So to be able to talk about that with these girls by my side will be pretty powerful. And so I'm super excited.
Well, we're certainly excited to have you here, and I think you'll find your experience in Laramie to be one that's kind of unique. I mean, you'll probably have some protesters down there, I would imagine, but I think it's very brave of you to speak out the way that you have and to use the platform that you have to speak the truth. And I really thank you for doing that. And it looks like we're out of time, so I really appreciate you coming on the program, and I wish you luck down in Laramie.
Well, thank you very much. And to the protesters, I say bring it on.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good day, Riley.
You too. Thank you.
We'll get back to the program in just a second. But first, an absolutely obscene and totally deserved profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or maybe a giant roping arena so you can do all that rodeo stuff when all that white crap is flying around, or perhaps even a giant warehouse for your business, then the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. They are the experts in metal building construction, and they've been doing it longer than anybody else around. So it doesn't really matter what type of building you're thinking about. Give Nick and Jesse a call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532. Tell them what you've got in mind, and they'll handle all the details. So one more time, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. My friends, do you know what day of the week it is? That's right. It's Saturday. And the very first thing that I think about every Saturday morning is hot wings. Hot wings from the Wingit food truck. They make the most incredible wings in the state of Wyoming. And it's not just hot wings. They have several other different flavors. I personally recommend the garlic parmesan wings. They're incredible. Now, the way that you can figure out where that truck is going to be is go to their Facebook page, the Wingit food truck, and they post their entire weekly schedule there. That way, you can plan your entire week around where that truck is going to be. That's the Wingit food truck. Is there a building that you've been looking at that would be just perfect for your business? Well, in order to get it, you're going to have to find a real estate agent. And unless you're completely off your rocker, you have to have one that you can trust. That agent is Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. Last year, she sold over $25 million worth of property. And get this, she's been known to talk buyers out of a piece of property just simply because it didn't meet their needs. So if you're buying or selling, give Rebecca a call. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. One more time, that's 307-699-3519. Give Rebecca a call today. And now, back to the program. Welcome back to the program. David Iverson behind the silver cowboy state politics microphone. Last Saturday, the Sheridan County GOP held their Reagan Day dinner. There were several dignitaries present, and sitting among them was none other than Sheridan County Attorney Diana Bennett, though I most certainly would not include her in the dignitary category. Of course, we all remember Diana Bennett. She's the county attorney that didn't want anything to do with prosecuting Cyrus Western and Bill Novotny for clear violations of the election code. Apparently, and according to Diana Bennett, if you're the county attorney, you get to pick and choose which laws you enforce. Say, for instance, a couple of your pals violate a big part of the election code, and because you're buddies, you decide that you're just not going to prosecute and you're going to kick it over to the Secretary of State. Because, being the educated attorney that you are, you know that the Secretary of State doesn't have any prosecutorial powers, so your pals, Cyrus and Bill, won't ever see the inside of a courtroom. Well, that's if you have anything to do with it. Yeah. That Diana Bennett. During the event, Wyoming Secretary of State Chuck Gray did not have very flattering things to say about the Sheridan County Attorney's Office. Really, all Secretary of State Gray did is point out the obvious, that the Sheridan County Attorney's Office either A, advised the Sheridan County Commissioners that they didn't have to select one of the three candidates to fill the vacancy on the Sheridan County Commission, or B, was absolutely negligent in their efforts to stop whatever the commissioners were going to do. But we really shouldn't expect too much from the Sheridan County Attorney's Office. They don't seem to do a heck of a lot anyway. After all, the Sheridan County Commission is already embroiled in one lawsuit. Why wouldn't you want to add one or two more on top of it? Well, anyway, after the event had concluded, Sheridan County Attorney Diana Bennett accosted Secretary of State Gray about his comments during the evening. Evidently, one of the lessons that Sheridan County Attorney Diana Bennett did not learn in law school was never go into a battle of wits unarmed. Get a load of this.
Like the Trump. Why? I am a trooper.
Just repeating something over and over doesn't make it true, Diana. You've made it painstakingly clear that you are most definitely one of the redcoats. Allow me to refresh your memory. At first, you tried to make Cyrus Western's legal woes go away by declining to prosecute, and then, when pressured, you kicked it to the one person you knew didn't have the power to prosecute. So when you say stuff like this to Secretary of State Chuck Gray,
Born and raised Wyoming.
No one in their right mind is going to believe anything that comes out of your mouth. And then she said this little gem. The audio is not that great, so here it is again. The best part of that is after she calls him a little man, Chuck Gray says, "I feel sorry for you." The perplexing part of all of this is that Diana Bennett is an attorney, which she repeats several times during her discussion with Chuck Gray. She should know not to get into conversations like this, where she may have said a few things that are not entirely flattering to her position. Really, the whole conversation boiled down to one point: whether or not she advised the Sheridan County Commission to not make a choice from the three candidates provided to the Sheridan County Commission by the Sheridan County Republican Party. Interestingly enough, Diana Bennett's text messages and emails are not among those provided in the response to the FOIA request filed by several individuals after the Sheridan County Commission refused to make a choice to fill that vacancy. As it turns out, and here's the kicker with that whole display between her and Chuck Gray, now we don't need her emails and text messages because I have her recorded. Here's the first piece.
That is all I said. But you got up here tonight and said I was telling them to do things I did not tell them or suggest them or know what they were going to do.
So from this, we might conclude that Diana Bennett didn't have any idea what the Sheridan County Commissioners were going to do with that vacancy. Had no clue whatsoever that the Sheridan County Commissioners were just going to decline to make a selection and then kick it to the judge. No clue whatsoever. And we could all believe that had she not said this.
They did what they wanted to do. I have no say in that. They know what the law is. They did what they wanted to do. You know what? I didn't want them to do what they did.
Whoopsie daisy. It appears that Diana Bennett knew exactly what they were going to do, and she admitted it in that soundbite.
They did what they wanted to do. I have no say in that. They know what the law is. They did what they wanted to do. You know what? I didn't want them to do what they did.
Quote, "I didn't want them to do what they did." End quote. Diana Bennett knew full well what was going to happen at that Sheridan County Commission meeting, and she didn't do anything about it. What would you call that, counselor? An excited utterance? And finally, no installment of Weekend Update would be complete without an entirely ridiculous statement from a redcoat.
I'm more conservative than you will ever be.
Diana Bennett shouldn't even be allowed to utter the word conservative. And to say that to Chuck Gray is absolutely an absurd statement. Well, that'll do it for this installment of Weekend Update. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday during Morning Reload. But for now, from the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.